بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ما نقصت صدقة من مال وما زاد الله عبدا بأفو إلا إذا وما تواضع أحد لله إلا رفعه الله. This is one hadith that has got three of the world's problem solution, three solutions for the world's problems. Allah Ta'ala had sent Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as a rahmat, as a guide, and as a mercy for mankind. Hence, his greatest work was to lead mankind from the depths of darkness to the light of guidance and the light of Jannah. This was his greatest work. Then you have to see now which are the works that bring destruction to mankind, lead him to Jahannam, and which are the works that will grant him salvation and protection. So, Rasulullah had observed that there were three works that bring about destruction to mankind. Sometimes it is his wealth, sometimes it is his ego. Right? And sometimes it is lust. These are the three things that normally bring him destruction. Sometimes wealth, sometimes it is his lust, and sometimes it is his ego. So he had to find a solution for these things. One is he had to diagnose, and number two, then he had to find solutions for it. Obviously, the solution that will be presented by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would be the best. There can't be a solution better than the solution that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had brought. So the first he found was the problem of wealth. Wealth in itself cannot be directly enjoyed. You can't take gold or silver or notes and eat them or enjoy them directly. But it is a means to an end. Right. With wealth you can see a lot of comforts, you can see a lot of enjoyment, you can see all your needs being fulfilled, but through wealth. So in itself, it doesn't fulfill anything, it's not a solution, but it's a means to a lot of solutions. So therefore man attaches his heart to this wealth, because it's a means to everything. In fact, sometimes, if you look at it from a different perspective, then you want wealth even for your lust. So wealth becomes the catalyst overall, whether it is pleasure, whether it is your ego, whether it is your lust. Because when you've got that wealth, then you can see your lust being fulfilled through that wealth. Right. But if you don't have that wealth, then how are you going to fulfill that lust? You want woman, you want whatever else you want, but you don't have the wealth. If you don't have the wealth, then how are you going to reach up there? So overall, wealth becomes the greatest problem, because this is a means to that end. Even if you talk of power and might, so you want wealth, why you want some type of recognition and power? When a person has got that wealth, then he pulls the strings. No matter who says what, but he's got the wealth, so he's got the influence. Therefore, Jews used to say, give me the wealth of the nation, then I don't care who makes the laws. Then everybody is my slave, everybody is my servant, be it the judge, be it the magistrate, be it legal advisors, be it lawyers, whoever, and they're all under me. Because all are doing whatever they're doing for wealth. When they're doing it for wealth, they just give me that wealth, and I will control, them, make everything work. So by and large, this wealth becomes the greater problem. Now, when we look at wealth, then on the one end we are told not to attach our hearts to wealth. But then when we look at wealth from a different dimension, then without that wealth we can't accomplish our works. So it's two dimensions. One is that you can't attach your heart. But then if you look at it from another dimension, then you can't get your things doing, you can't get your things going without wealth. So then how do you find a solution? How do you reconcile the both? So the Quran Sharif has given the solution to this. The Quran Sharif says, "In kana abawakum wa abnawakum." At the end he says, "Ahabba ilaykum." In other words, that wealth and the attachment to wealth mustn't be greater than the attachment to Allah Ta'ala. So you will have an attachment, but it must be in its place. It mustn't be greater than the love of Allah Ta'ala. So if it is in its place, it's all right. But if it is more than the attachment and the love for Allah Ta'ala, then there's problems. Okay. Now, Allah Ta'ala has created us, and He's created some love for wealth within our hearts and within our minds. Right? He's created us, and in our makeup there is that attachment to wealth. Right? So when it's in our makeup, then we can't strip ourselves from that want for wealth. It's within our constitution, within our construction. He's constructed us like this, that we've got that attachment to wealth. So we can't completely strip ourselves off that. Like, He's created for us, for example, desire, lust, right? So when it's created lust into you, you can't strip yourself off because that is natural. Right? He's created you, and there's a desire for drink, for example. Halal drinks, not haram drinks. So you can't strip yourself off that. You'll have to drink. So one is that which is natural. The thing that is natural, you can't separate yourself from that which is natural. That is why Umar ibn al-Khattab became the Khalifa, and then he conquered Persia, etc., Persia, Rome, and all that. And the wealth began to pour into Madinah Munawwara. So Umar radiallahu anhu cried, and he was afraid that Allah Pak may not say, "Adhabtum tayyibatikum fi hayatikum ud-dunya wastamta'atum biha," that you see, you worked, right? You worked righteous works, and you took away the reward of your righteous works. So what rewards you want by me? Adhabtum tayyibatikum fi hayatikum ud-dunya. But thereafter he says that when this is God-made, this attachment to wealth is God-made. That means we can't rid ourselves, we can't separate ourselves. Like I said, the lust for women, for food, drink, etc., it's within us. So we can't separate, because this is how Allah has made you. Then He made a dua, Allah Ta'ala. And this is part of our makeup. Then let it be that this wealth be a means to reach up to you. That it is used in avenues that brings about your pleasure. We saw a destitute, we spent upon him. We saw a relative, we spent upon him. Right? We saw someone going out in the path of Allah Ta'ala, then we spent upon him. So those avenues that will bring about the love of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala, we'll spend in those avenues. When we got that control, then that control makes us feel we can do what we need to do. But we mustn't feel that we are free to do what we need to do. Yes, we must spend it, but in those avenues that will bring the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. So hence it is natural. When it is natural, you can't rid yourself of it. But what you should be doing is, you spend it in a way that you will gain the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. So this is how you spend the same wealth. Now, the question is, why did Allah Ta'ala place that love into your mind? Why did Allah Ta'ala create that love in your mind? So, we need to understand that this life is created as an examination, as a test, right? If there was no exam, right, then there was no gauge, right? There was no gauge. And then how must Allah Ta'ala give people marks then? You know, you need to get marks. So you get marks for an examination. And what is an examination? It is a test. It is to test your ability, right? That is the test. Now, if there is, you don't have that type of desire within you, then how is he going to test you? So he can test you when you've got a desire, right? You've got a desire, and then too you resist that desire. You hold yourself. So Allah wants to see now that now you got this desire, right? Do you resist or do you give in? So this is the whole trial. So when it's created desire, so you can desire. But when you see something that is desirable, then do you hold yourself or do you give in? So now this is the test. So understand now the nature of the test. When you see temptation, then what are you going to do in the face of temptation? Are you going to give in or are you going to put on the brakes? And if Allah did not create you like that, then there wouldn't have been any test. Right? Like you see this pillar here, right? Can you tell this pillar, it mustn't look at wrong? Does it have the ability? It doesn't have the ability. So when it doesn't have the ability, you won't say this pillar is so opaque and so pure, clean, never makes zina in his life. Can you say that? No, I can't say it. It doesn't have the ability. The kamal and the perfection is when a person has the ability to do it and then he looks at Allah Ta'ala and he holds back. And that's the perfection. Not in that situation where he doesn't have the ability. He doesn't have the ability then, and he doesn't do it. So there is no good in that. Not an achievement. Do we call that an achievement? No achievement. He doesn't have the ability. So the perfection is, or the achievement is, when you got the ability and then you hold back. You got the ability and then you hold back. That's the perfection. That's the achievement. Right. So he's given you that ability and now he wants to see now, what are you going to do? Like how you've got four children, right? So you want to see now which child is most considerate. So you gave them each, say, 100 rands. All four children you've got, all say, all 11, 12, 13, 14, that's the ages of the children, right? So you want to try them out, you put 100 rand in their pockets, right? And you want to see now who of them is most considerate. So now the one child got that 100 rand, straight away he went to the game park and he bust that money finish. So you saw that child here, you saw his behavior. And the second child, you gave him also 100 rand, and he bought some ice cream, chocolates, toffees and all that, and he ended up. And the third one, what he did is, he took that money, and he saw, right, my mother also needs some things, you know. Long time she was talking about some type of cloth that she wanted, you know. So let me buy something for my mother. And my sister, she likes toffees, so I'll buy some toffees for her. And my father, I think his shoelace is worn out, let me buy some shoelace for him. So that was the third one. And the fourth one, he went and spent that money on friends. So the father sees now, all right, that temptation was there for wealth in all four. we are human beings. But this person here, this third child, he is most considerate. Not only considerate, but he has some system in his mind. He says, I can spend outside on my friends, but there is a thing like prioritizing, right? So prioritizing on my immediate people. So he is most considerate and most understanding. Now he won the test, you see. So the test can be won when you've got the control and you've got the ability. Like if it's a weak person, right? Slowed him down and he turned out, you know, came two slaps and make me mouth. He said, oh, I made you mouth. But now, did he make you mouth when he had the position to retaliate or when he was under duress? So when he was under this force now, he said, I'll make him mouth, so make mouth. So he didn't have the ability to retaliate. The achievement is when he has the ability to retaliate and then he holds himself back, you see. So the whole criteria, the whole that whole trial revolves around the ability, the strength. You got the strength to do it and then you held yourself back. You had the ability to do it and then you saw Allah Ta'ala and you just held yourself back, you see. So this is how that nafs has to be trained. So this is why Allah Ta'ala has created this type of a system where He gives you that ability and thereafter He wants you to hold back, wants you to resist. Right. So in this there is divine wisdom as well. A divine wisdom could be that Allah Ta'ala speaks about the hereafter. He speaks about Jannat and Jahannam, right? When He speaks about Jannat and Jahannam, then He wants you to aspire for Jannat. He wants you to try and save yourself from Jahannam. Now, say for example, you had no temptation in you. Absolutely no temptation. Temptation was zero. Absolutely no ability to have any temptation. And Allah Pak spoke about the hoors. Then would you have had any type of feeling? He spoke about hoors. Hoorun maqsuratun fil khiyam. Ka'annahunna liyaqut wal marjan. Like pearls and rubies they will be, right? So you have no temptation in your mind, then will you be able to desire for that? He's speaking about hoors in soob, like ka'annahunna lu'lu'un maknoon, like pearls concealed. You know? He's speaking about that, you know, flawless, without blemish, you know. So he's speaking about that. So will you have any temptation, any feeling for that? No feeling. You can have a feeling if you have the ability to feel. But you don't have the ability to feel, then can you feel tempted? You can't feel tempted. So you needed that little bit of desire to be able to be tempted. Right? Like I say, this pillar doesn't have any temptation. Now the perfection is in this, okay, when you had the temptation, then too you resisted. So this is now that perfection. This is the achievement. Sometimes the wisdom can be in this way as well. Wisdom comes out in this way as well. Okay. If there wasn't the temptation, right, then managing the affairs of this universe would have become difficult. Right? There's no temptation at all. Right? So managing the affairs of this world would be difficult. Right? Because when there was no temptation, then every person would just worried squarely about his basic needs. His needs only. Right? He's not worried about anything else. Like how you find an animal, it's only worried for the day for itself. And most then for its young, if it has a young. And the young also grew up, then it doesn't care about the young as well. So each person is just worried about himself. So when you're just worried about yourself, then you'll just worry, all right, for the day, have I got some rice or some bread? And some perhaps some greens, enough now. I don't need to work beyond that. Now, when you have temptation, then what the temptation leads you to do? The temptation leads you to work for 100 years ahead. Huh? You know, my child will come, my grandchild, and I need to have this type of furniture, that type of automobile, and that type of holiday I need to have. So for that, I need to work so much. If I don't work so much, then I can't go to the burgs. and I can't drive in this type of a car, and I can't eat this type of food, you know, so I need so much more. Right? Now that the drive to get more makes you work more. But in the process what happens? See, like in the drive to get more, someone does business. Someone becomes a doctor, right? Someone becomes an engineer. So now, why he became an engineer? Why he became a doctor? So he can get more, right? So when there is a drive to get more, now in that what happens, within that what happens, is the nizam, the administration of the world becomes simple, right? When he had the desire to get more, he became a doctor, right? Right? When he became a doctor, so he became a solution for hundreds of people's problems, isn't it? He became a doctor, but isn't that now a solution for many people's problems? This person is sick, so he sees to him. That person is ailing, so he's taking care, right? Now, what was the catalyst for their solution? His desire for more. When there was a desire for more, so he learned. He learned and he became a professional person. When he became a professional person, you can attend to so many people. But what was the catalyst? Catalyst was more, desire for more. So that desire for more was a blessing for him, right? For humanity at large. So the same, when people have that desire, then it becomes a blessing for humanity at large. And in any other perspective, if you look at it, one person becomes a stock farmer, right? He likes animals and he's got a quest for that, right? So in that what happens, it's a solution for people's meat problems. He'll meet you now. Huh? Right? So, but if he had not had that type of a feeling, that desire, could he have seen so many other people? He couldn't have it. He just have to keep one goat in his yard. I got this 1, 2 goats or 3 goats. I'll cut one, I'll keep it for 1 month. Next month, I'll cut another one. By the time that thing will grow, the fourth one will grow, whatever, it'll carry on. So I don't need to have a big farm. He won't think like that. Now how is he going to think? Think 100 years. So in that thinking, he's bring about a solution for man's problem, for the earthly problems. So there are a lot of divine wisdom in this type of a plan. See, in the plan of Allah Ta'ala, there is wisdom. Sometimes we do understand, sometimes we can't understand. You know, when we speak about our iman, you know, this Zarul Muslimin, you got imaniyat. Then you got about wal qadri khayri wa sharri min Allah Ta'ala. Taqdeer, good and bad comes from Allah Ta'ala. Right? Now, we understand the good, but bad, how do we say that it comes from Allah Ta'ala? So one is Allah Ta'ala creating something, and one is you doing something. So in the creation of Allah Ta'ala, there's only good. Right? There's no evil in His creation. Now, how do you explain that there is no evil in His creation? In respect to Allah Ta'ala, in respect to you, it may be evil. But in respect to Allah Ta'ala, there is only good. How does it work? It works like this. For example, there is a thing like theft, right? There is a thing like theft. So, theft itself, Allah Ta'ala has created. In other words, the ability to thief, the ability to steal, who's created it? Allah Ta'ala has created it. Now, when He created that ability to steal, in that, there is a lot of wisdom. A lot of wisdom, right? What is the wisdom? The wisdom is this, that because there is that fear for theft, for burglary, for robbery, then on account of that fear only, that Allah Ta'ala has created, see, He's created theft. So on account of that fear, millions of people get their jobs. You know, South Africa alone, yearly, you know, in record they've got it, that they have got over 3 million people just as patrols, you know, securities. Only security, guards and security, over 3 million. So 3 million people getting the rosy for what? They got, just because of the fear of burglary, theft, robbery, etc., 3 million people are getting the rosy. Just one department of security. Can you see how many people are getting the rosy? Right. Then because of the fear of theft, robbery, etc., then you get this whole system of burglar guards. Like if you go to Makkah, Medina, no burglar guards. You saw anywhere in Makkah, Medina, any burglar guards? No burglar guards. Right. So there's no burglar guards at all there. Here there is a fear for theft. So because of fear of theft, Sheikh steal, get his rosy, so many people get the steal, they all, very good, they're rosy. Doesn't it happen? Because of the fear of theft. Right. So this was a creation of Allah Ta'ala, but in perspective to Allah Ta'ala, in that dimension, it's good. Because that became an excuse for so many people earning their rosy. Right. Then, you look at it, the more you look at it, you'll find so many people getting the rosy through that. See? Just because of the fear of that Allah has created. See, then you look at this policeman, and 60-70% of them are getting the rosy because of theft again. Right. Then you see this CCTV, again, same thing. Then you see this patrols, you know, the patrols, they're getting the rosy for the same. So many people just getting their wealth, getting the rosy just because of the fear of theft. See? Right. Then you get, even accountants also, they get the money because of theft, because of the fear of theft. Right? Because on the one end, the government is trying to thief you, and the other end, you're trying to thief the government. So who comes in between? Accountant can say, you don't thief him, and he doesn't thief you. Right? Both want to steal from each other. So the accountant also, hey, how many years has to work? 7 years, board exams, and this, that, and all. The board exams, you get bored of it. Still you have to write that. Huh? But in that whole process, the poor accountant, he gets his rosy. So you see how many people get the rosy. Now from that perspective, that dimension, how many people are getting that rosy? Now, this is the wisdom. See, when you, the plan of the system of Allah Ta'ala, there is only good. But in our perspective, perhaps we think, hey, you know, theft, a big thing now. Man's earning so many years of earning. One night, robbers came and they wiped him out clean. Right? So from our perspective, it's wrong. But from the dimension of Allah Ta'ala, there is only good. There is no evil in that. When you say, وَالْقَدْرِ خَيْرِ وَشَرِّي مِنَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, then from his dimension, there's good and nothing but good. So nonetheless, we are talking of this problem, wealth, see. And what Allah Pak wants, that we don't bring that love to the level of obsession. In our English, we'll say obsession. You want to say love for wealth, because love for wealth is natural, right? That you can't separate yourself. You can't extract it totally. Yes, at the level of obsession, this is now dangerous. It was at the level of normal level, it's all right, because it's normal. Right? Don't you like cold water on a hot day? So that's wealth also, isn't it? Isn't it dunya? Is it not dunya? Cold water. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam liked cool water. Allahumma ij'al hubbaka ahabba ilayya min nafsi wa ahli wa min al-ma'il barid. So to generalize and say that the love of wealth is totally haram, that's not right. Yes, it mustn't come to the level of obsession. Comes to the level of obsession, there it goes wrong. Because when it comes to the level of obsession, then you will not separate things. You will not be able to distinguish things. That wealth will be at the level of obsession. Then you're mad then. When you're mad, then you just grab. See, it's like you're drunken now, you know, drunken. And the person that is drunken, can he distinguish? He can't distinguish. He can't see things. He's drunken now. He's doing, but he doesn't know what he's doing. Why he's under some type of intoxication. Because of the intoxication, he can't see. So the same happens to wealth when you are intoxicated. Then you can't see right from wrong. You can't separate. Though it's interest, you can't see it. No, I just need that wealth. Whatever it is, but I need that wealth. So that love of the wealth, it progressed, it came to that point. Came to that point, you know, I just need that wealth. So, for that moment when you are going to be, let us say, interested, right? When you're going to be in that interested, what's going to happen? You're going to shut your eyes from the evil consequence of interest. See, so it came to such a level. Like you ask the, you know, youngster come and complain, you know, I fell into zina or something. So you ask him, but didn't you know it was haram? Say, I knew it was haram. You know, you went into a porn, or you went into some zina relationship, etc. But did you know it was haram? So, no, I knew it was haram. Then why you fell into it? Then you see, at the moment I committed the wrong, my mind just shut off then. I committed the wrong, then I came back to my senses. So that level of intoxication where it shuts your mind, that is called obsession. See? So now why did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam speak about the love of wealth so much? More than the intoxication of wine, he spoke about the intoxication of wealth. Why? Because the intoxication of wine, the person is intoxicated, by the morning he's sober again, right? If he drank at night, morning, right? He'll have a blue Monday, but he'll carry on, right? But the intoxication of wealth doesn't leave. Hazrat Ji Muawiyah Rahmatullah used to say, dunya ki nasha to utarti nahi, sharab ki nasha to subah tak utar jata hai. That intoxication of wine, by the morning you over, finish. But wealth, that thing doesn't leave you. It's on and on. So you can't see them. Then you can't see right from wrong, nothing. Obsession. So that is the dangerous level. Now why it is so dangerous? It's so dangerous. One is because you can't discriminate, right? Number one. Number two, then even at the end, when you're ending up your life, it can become fatal, it can become dangerous. In your life is dangerous because you can't discriminate. Right? You are going to be hurting others. And when you are ending up your life also, at the point that you're ending up your life, there too it's fatal and can be dangerous there as well. Because now, your whole life you had spent in acquiring wealth, piling up wealth, right? So you piled up your wealth, your investments, your properties, you piled it up. Right? Now, you're faced with death. So what death is doing? Death is separating you from your wealth. Now, what you worked for your whole life, millions you worked for the whole life, and death is coming in, separating you from all that. Like imagine, you know, you pine for a child, and you got a beautiful child, right? You pined and you pined and you pined. Eventually, Allah Pak gave you a child. When He gave you a child, now someone is pulling away the child from your arms. Will you love the person? You'll hate him. To guts, your guts you'll hate him, won't you? So now death is coming and separating your wealth away from you. The thing that you live for, the thing that you were proud about, the thing that you worked for, strived and struggled, now there's a separation. So the one that is separating you from your wealth, will you love him? That means that hate will be for who? For Allah Ta'ala. Because He's separating you from your wealth. So you see that love of wealth and what it can lead to you eventually. So therefore, it says that it mustn't be at the level of obsession. That's normal, it's alright. Because you can leave it. How Ramadan now? You left that food, right? From the morning to the evening. Right? You could leave it. And when you engage in ibadah, etc., whatever the work you engage in, you don't even think about eating. Right? So you have an attachment, but that attachment is to the level of moderation. You want to leave it, you leave it, come back onto it. In fact, now, after that, your temptation is even more. Iftar, now, watching around, what's there? What's there? So the temptation goes even more then. So Allah Ta'ala has created this, like I say again, that He's created it and this is the trial. So see, when you know what is the trial, then you know what to work for. If you don't know what's the trial of life, then you don't know what to work. So if you don't know what, you know what is tasawuf, then you want to strive for it. But you don't know, you just don't know, I came, you know, I read 2-4 more rakats, so then I become more pious. So then you don't know what was the goal. But because you don't know what was the goal, therefore, you didn't want to strive for it. But you know what is the goal, then you want to work towards it. In life, this is what happens. Everything that you do, you need to know what is the goal. Right? He wants to go to university, right? So he's got a goal in his mind. I'll go to university, I'll become a pharmacist, right? And why a pharmacist? Because, you know, a pharmacist, you can make big money. So you got the money in your mind. Money became the goal. So that goal then motivates you, right? It motivates you. But then, with the motivation, you need to go in the right direction. See, it's a goal that is motivating, that's pushing you. But what you need to understand that is that motivation motivating you to the right direction, right? Like you're playing soccer now, right? Football you're playing. So you need to be going in the right direction. Otherwise you'll score your own goal. Yeah. If you don't know the direction, what's going to happen? You don't know which is the parlor, which is the goal post, what's going to happen? Won't you score your own goal? You score your own goal just now. So you need to know the goal first. You know your goal, then you know the direction. But you don't know the goal, you don't know the direction. So you'll be running around everywhere, you'll be in a lot of movement. But what you're doing the movement for, you don't know what you're doing it for. So you must know what you're aiming for, what you're trying for, what you're striving for. So this obsession of wealth, this is now, in the wording of the hadith, became the major problem, biggest problem. And when this became the major problem, the biggest problem, right, then we need to look for a solution. I showed you now that this is the whole plan of Allah, the whole design of Allah Ta'ala. You know the design of Allah Ta'ala, so you know what's the trial like. When you know what's the trial, then you know what to aim for, what to strive for. If you don't know what to try for, then you don't know what is the exam all about. Now, when you've come to this world, then you'll be faced with situations. Things will come up. Right? You're not told in advance that this is going to come up, but things will come up. Then Allah Pak will see, فَيَنْزُرَ كَيْفَ تَعْمَلُونَ. He's going to see what's your behavior like. فَيَنْزُرَ كَيْفَ تَعْمَلُونَ. He will see then how you're behaving. So situations will come up, and they'll come up impromptu. It won't be told to you that this is going to be a situation, it just come impromptu. Right? If it's going to be told to you that today this is going to be the exam, then it's easy. Then it's like you're rehearsing a play. Alright, you know, they're going to, in the play, this is your part. That person is going to shout you in the play, so you must keep quiet. That's your role. What is your role in the play? He'll shout you, so you must keep quiet. Is there any trial in that? No trial in that. But there's no rehearsal. They didn't tell you anything in advance. Right? Nothing was told to you in advance. I told you, by and large, that there's going to be some trials. But the nature of the trial, how, when, what will happen, I didn't tell you about that. Nothing. I caught you impromptu. Right? And I shouted, you gave your mouth full. Now, I'm going to see the level of endurance. And the level of sabr. Endurance. Now, when I see that level of sabr is at the maximum, then I give 100%. If 50%, you're getting 50%. See, so that's the trial. The exams that you write in a school or a college or university, the nature of the exam is different there. And the examination Allah puts you through is different. إِذِ ابْتَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ. Allah also tries. And he tries out even the Anbiya. إِذِ ابْتَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ. Allah tried him. Right. So the nature of the school examination is everything that is theoretical, right? Only theory, isn't it? That's the nature of the examination. It's theory. Is there anything more than theory? It's only theory. You must know your facts, and based on how you know your facts, they will give you the results, isn't it? It's a engineer, then you must plan like this. So based on how you did that, you got your reward. Right? So that's the nature of the exam of this world. You knew your facts, and you will get your marks. Umar Palanpuri Rahmatullah, he says, when I was a child, 5-6 years of age, so there was one Kala that used to come to our house. Maryam Kala, right? So this Maryam Kala, sometimes she'll tell us about, you know, Qabr and what's going to happen. There'll be 3 questions and all that, see. So we should listen very, very eagerly because this Kala was a little bit more educated and she would tell us what's happening. So some incidents, some stories and what's going to happen beyond this life she used to tell us. So I came to my mother the other next day. I said, Ma, you know, Maryam Kala told about Qabr and all that, and there's three questions. I wrote all the questions right, I know it. Man Rabbuk? Rabbi Allah. Ma Deenuk? Deeni al-Islam. Ma kunta taqulu fi hadha rajul? Hadha Nabiyuna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I learned it all. My clearance of the Qabr, I got it. I got the clearance of the Qabr. So mother told him, see, in the grave, won't be an examination of your wits and of your brains. Your brains and your wits will not be able to talk. Your tongue, this physical tongue, won't talk. What will talk is your actions. So if you had behaved like Deeni al-Islam, like Rabbi Allah, then you will have the tongue to speak. But if you didn't speak, you didn't behave and conduct yourself like that, then you won't have that ability to speak. So what will speak then will be that behavior of yours, not this physical tongue. See? What will speak will be your behavior. It won't be this physical tongue. So this examination is different to the examination that you write at a college or a university. There you must know the facts and they mark you accordingly. Right? You get your reward, whatever, because of you knowing the facts. And but Allah Ta'ala is not knowing the facts, but applying yourself in a circumstance that is not announced to you in advance. Not told to you in advance, this is going to be the circumstance. And you need to behave like this. Someone is going to make you angry, right? How are you going to behave? You're going to be a little bit financial constraints. How are you going to behave? There's going to be beautiful girls around you. How are you going to be behaving yourself, right? So these is the nature of the exams there. This is the nature of the trial. He wants to see you in this different situations and how you conduct yourself, how you behave yourself. Young children tell them, on a dastarkhan, now there's just four pieces of chops, right? And there's three people. So, how are you going to behave yourself? Three people and four pieces of chops. Alright, each one will take one and the fourth one, you will keep eyeing the thing, but who's taking it? Is there anybody takers? If there's no taker, don't really get waste, let me take it myself. Will you think like that? Or you say, no, let him have it. Like how you saw the Sahaba Kiram, and when they got that guest, then they pretended as though the lamp was extinguished and they're fixing it up, let the mihman eat while they don't eat. What will you do? So this is how that examination comes in. It's a practical exam, and in a practical exam, how are you going to conduct yourself? فَيَنْزُرَ كَيْفَ تَعْمَلُونَ Based on that behavior, you're getting your marks. So Ibrahim al-Islam, Allah Pak says he passed. And he passed with flying colors. فَأَتَمَّهُمْ إِذِ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُمْ He passed. Now based on the passing of that exam, then what Allah Pak gives you? إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا Now Allah Pak creates opportunities for you. What? Creates opportunities for you. So that preliminary exams, you passed. You passed. Like, you know, you passed your exam, so now you can go and practice as a doctor. So you got an opportunity. Haven't you got an opportunity? You didn't pass, they didn't give you that opportunity. Now you passed, now he's giving you that opportunity. So by Allah Ta'ala also, he give you some trials. And when you pass in the trial, then he will give you some opportunities. So Ibrahim alayhi salam has been given this opportunity. Inni ja'iluka linnasi imama. Now you are my vicegerent. You are my imam. You are my representative on this earth. So this came after that examination. Because you're putting a person in a very, very crucial position. Very important position you're putting him. You can't just put anybody there, can you? You know, you build up a mall, right? You had 100 million rand and you put up a mall, right? So many departments, so many things, so many checks and balances and whatever else, right? So you got many other work to attend to. Will you put any person as your manager to the entire mall? You'll test the person out. You'll see his acumen, his business, his loyalty, his understanding, his know-how. You'll see all that. When you see his capable, then you'll put him into that position. Because now you spend so much of money, you can't just leave it to any person. So Allah Ta'ala, when He'll appoint someone to manage the affairs of the dunya, the dini affairs of the dunya, then He won't just put anybody, He will test that person out. He'll see, is he capable, can he do it, does he love for me, does he work for me, is he loyal to me, can he put everything aside for me? Is he that type of a person? Or he just works from 8 to 8, or 8 to 5. See, so Allah Pak looks at it differently. You see, you've got two people working for you. One person comes and works from 8 to 4. He's clocking in on time, going out on time. That is the one person, right? And the other person works for you. He works, fills in the time, but would working for you within that time, he thinks for you. He says, you know, boss, these are the loose ends in your business. And boss, you know what? You need to market this. This thing is a very good thing. It can sell very well. But there is a marketing strategy. And this is how you market the thing, product. You market your product. You see, same thing, what is not selling. If you market it right, by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, one day, you'll get three times the profit and everything will sell out. So this is how you market it. And then he tells you, boss, you know what? You know, your dispatch, there's a lot of thieving carrying on there. You need to put a check and balance there. Then again, he tells you, see, boss, you know, your accounting strategy is not right. You can reduce your tax, you know, by another 70-80%. You're paying 2 million, so you'll have to pay perhaps, you know, much less than that. About 1 million, he'll save you so much, see. Then he tells you, right, you know, you're sourcing your stuff from here. I can show you the actual source, you know, China, I can show it to you. I'll show you the actual source. So he's showing you so much of business ideas and everything is working. So now who do you appreciate, the first worker or the second? If you want to make him a CEO or the head of your business, who will you employ, the first one or the second? The first one, well, he just came to fill in time. That second person, he is thinking you. What he's doing? He's thinking you. He knows the mansha of the boss. He's working beyond hours, right? He doesn't say, hey, now, 4 o'clock, Shailana, let's go. Let's put in the coats and move it. He's thinking for you now. Hey, what is the boss mansha? What will he like? You know, what must I do for his business? So when he wants to make an appointment and CEO, he'll appoint him. So Allah Pak, when he's appointing you and giving you opportunities, he's looking at this. Okay, do you think for me? Do you love for me? Are you concerned for me? Right. So to the level you have got that concern for Allah Ta'ala and the love for Allah Ta'ala, He throws opportunities to you. Give you this opportunity, you can come, progress. But you must show that you like for Allah Ta'ala, you love for Him, you want for Him. أَحَبَّ لِلَّهِ أَبْغَدَ لِلَّهِ أَعْطَى لِلَّهِ مَنَعَ لِلَّهِ. So you love for Him. See, I showed you this by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, how I showed you that you love for Him. You know, it's a business now. You love for the boss. So you love for Allah Ta'ala. When you love for Allah Ta'ala, you're looking at His plan, what He wants. So you're trying to work His plan out, right? So when you're working His plan out, then you're working beyond your stipulated times. You're not just looking time, you're looking beyond the time. But then Allah Ta'ala throws that opportunity. إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا. So Ibrahim alayhi salam then, he says to Allah Ta'ala, you know, but this opportunity, can it go for my children as well? Man thinks immediately what he thinks for. First, you know, who do you think for first? You think first for your immediate ones, children, wife, parents, etc. These are the first people that you are concerned about. So Allah Ta'ala says, لا ينالو أحد الظالمين. These opportunities, then I don't give it to people that are unfit. Namak haram. People that are not concerned about me, then I don't give them these opportunities. So what Allah Ta'ala is saying is not on the base of your lineage. That I am Mr. Qaji, Mulana Qaji. So Mulana Qaji's progeny is with all the opportunities. Allah Ta'ala doesn't say like that. How He says it? It's not based on lineage. Then it's based on what? In your competence, in your loyalty, in your love for me. And you're thinking for me. You think for me, you love for me, you do for me, then I will give you the opportunities, I will give your children the opportunities. But you must do for me. You must do for me, and you do for me, your children do for me, as long as you'll do for me, your love for me, your like for me, right, then I will do for you. Then I will give you, I will throw out those opportunities. When a person becomes a father, then this is his primary concern. You know, I worked for something, and this must be carried on by my children, isn't it? This is what you think of. I open up a shop now, then my children must carry on. I open up a madrasa, so the children must carry on. So this is how you think. Don't you think like that? So Ibrahim alayhi salam also wanted those same opportunities for his children. So Allah showed him the rule. La yanalu ahdi zalimi. Straight. See, Allah's words are all accurate, comprehensive, holistic. Everything is covered. Everything. Not one angle and one dimension is not covered. Everything in this one word.